Hello, I'm John Alsop, and this is your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. First off is looking back at some old marketing stuff. The most common response to an ad, I'm thinking an ad in a trade magazine or a magazine, this is back in 1994, used to be to get in touch for more information. And I remember being the guy on the end of those, putting together fulfillment packs so that people could get more information, get the brochure, and then in business to business you would phone them up and follow them up. And I was just curious about whether that really still applies at all, or whether that's completely gone, whether what happens now is people see an ad and then they go to the website and perhaps they search your name and perhaps they look at your reputation online in terms of scoring systems and things like that. You know, if you're advertising to someone a washing machine, they might go on a comparison site and have a look at you know, whether how it compares to other washing machines and so on. They may ask in Facebook about that, ask their friends, their trusted colleagues, what they think, or for advice if it's you know, a technical product and they're not technical, or you know, a piece of DIY equipment and they don't do DIY, that kind of thing. Then people would ask for help that way, and all of those things have come in since 1994, and all of those things are, I suspect, more common now than ringing up for more info. I don't think anybody does that anymore. So I just thought that was kind of curious, to look at everything with a bit of perspective. And so, I mean, I'm not involved in magazine advertising and never have been, but presumably now, you know, they obviously have different goals, and I mean, one of the things that you can do, of course, is put on the ad a website address, a website URL, and that can be unique to the ad or to the campaign. And so that can be the more information that is specific to the ad. And nowadays, of course, you can use those QR codes as well. So we can provide essentially the brochure within seconds to anyone who's online. So I guess perhaps that's the way that advertising has gone in terms of providing fulfillment in that style. But I just wanted to kind of muse on the idea of what people do once they've seen an ad. And how that's changed over the years. So the next point, it's the idea of having, of working out who in your organisation is the best person or are the best people to blog or to handle the Twitter feed, because again, the like rule. Geeks know how to talk to geeks, and geeks like talking to geeks, and designers like talking to designers. And so if you can encourage those conversations, then you have, I mean, can you imagine sales talking to geeks? That doesn't work. So, you know, it's good to have those different channels and to try and encourage like, but obviously you've got to have the right kind of person in your organization having those conversations, and have it set within rules so that things don't get disclosed that shouldn't get disclosed and so on. So there's a whole system and a whole thing to think about there, but ideally what I'm saying is that it shouldn't just be one person who is doing the tweeting or the blogging or whatever. because if it is that one person, it's the person who created the business, or the, you know, the managing director or whatever, and they already have too much to do. So, you know, it could be a point of, it could be sold in the sense that the person who contributes actively in that kind of way, obviously it will be something for them to put on their CV. It will also be something that you could reward, you know, as career progression type stuff. You know, it could be something that you could take into account when you look at giving raises and that kind of thing. Now, I know that, you know, this space that I'm in here, this marketing space, is it conventional? I don't know. I mean, it likes to think that it's creative and wacky and out of the box and so on. But I think it's very conservative in terms of driving business and, you know, looking to the bottom line and, you know, trying to grow commerce. Of course, that's kind of what we're here for. But what I'm... that was me, by the way. Excuse me. What I'm interested... I mean, I have an interest in counterculture. And sometimes that seeps through. And I kind of wanted to explain what that was all about. You know, I adolesced to punk. And that was a kind of destroy and refresh kind of... culture, or had that kind of attitude. It also had a very energetic attitude, and it was very go-getting, so I liked that side of things. I mean, I never smashed anything and I never spat at anyone and so on, so don't worry about that. But the interesting thing about it is that these, you know, the people in these countercultures do grow up and do end up getting a job and do end up rising to the top of the pile. So, you know, it's interesting to look at how hippie culture kind of infiltrated mainstream society. And I do think that punk and Thatcherism had, you know, danced together, because they were both about energy and change and individualism. So I like looking at that kind of stuff, and it also tells us, you know, if all we do is look within our own sphere, we're never going to see other opportunities that kind of main normal people are screaming for. For instance, I got very annoyed by companies saying, once the green thing came on, companies preaching to us, you know, to do things for the planet, when what had really happened is companies had reacted to pressure from us, from the normal people, from the people who knew what the world needed, and then that message was being preached back at us, and I found that incredibly irritating and annoying, and any company who did it kind of lost a little faith from me. But there you have, and you know, the hippies were talking green back in the 60s, it didn't hit mainstream until when, the 90s or so, and there was a whole opportunity there waiting for business to kind of jump onto and take advantage of, and you wouldn't know it unless you were looking at counterculture. So one of the things that is taxing counterculture now is the idea of data and privacy, and not necessarily privacy, but You know, what use it is our data being put to? And so that, you know, these are coming crises for people like Google and Facebook. You can see them falling off a cliff if they get this wrong. Because people are concerned, you can see it in counterculture. So that's why I'm interested in it. I like the new and the off the edge kind of thoughts, because I think it leads to other creative thoughts and to opportunities. So I thought I'd kind of explain that, and I would encourage you to buy I'm trying to think of the name of the magazine. I'll come back to that. Okay, the next thing is a guy called Luntz, who apparently was a Republican strategist, and he came up with, I just like a couple of examples of his work, and we'll come up with more later. Global warming was the kind of phrase, but he changed it to climate change. Global warming sounds like, well, you like heating up a frog in a saucepan kind of thing, whereas climate change means something, you know, who's afraid of change? Climate change is something that's been happening over the years, and you know, you're a bit fuddy-duddy if you don't adapt to change, that kind of thing. So these words mean are very powerful. And another one of his was a state tax became death tax. So who the hell wants a death tax? So these were kind of part of his campaign phrasing, really. And that those two examples seem very powerful, and we'll talk about him a bit more later. Finally, is this idea of, it's really just in page 7 of Neuro Web Design book. So it's right early on, and it's the concept that drives the whole of the book, really. It is that we think we make decisions consciously, but mostly it's an unconscious thing. So, you know, we feel good because we've made a decision and we feel that we've made a rational one. Actually, it's probably completely rational and driven by our subconscious. And as marketers, then it's up to us to appeal to people's subconscious. And that primarily is how we persuade people, not with logical argument, but by appealing to the subconscious. That's about it. I can't remember the name of that magazine, but I'll try and remember it for next time. Have a good one, and we'll talk tomorrow. All right. Cheers. Bye.